We're going back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for our part 2 of the spiritual gifts overview. If you missed part 1, let me encourage you to go back to last week and listen to that. But just to read the single verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Using this one verse as our springboard, this portion of our teaching in the series on the church is to help us be better informed about spiritual gifts. So let's begin with a quick review of what we covered last Sunday. We'll start with a definition again, the definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability, enablement, or capacity to do the work of God in edifying the body of Christ. We see, of course, several passages of Scripture that deal with spiritual gifts. Since we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look down to verse 4, we read, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit is a reference to the spiritual gifts. Now, the 20 or so spiritual gifts that are specifically designated in the Bible may or may not be a complete list. If this list is complete, then every believer has one of the spiritual gifts that we are reviewing in this study, at least one. Although yours may not appear to be identical to someone else who has the same gift, nonetheless, each one of us has at least one of these if this list is complete. If, on the other hand, the Bible lists these as examples of spiritual gifts, then your gift may not even be explicitly identified in the Scriptures as a spiritual gift. As I mentioned last week, some possible examples of things that are not listed as spiritual gifts but may be spiritual gifts could be music, art, and we could make the list longer, but that's just to give you a couple of examples. But most importantly in all of this, we are to focus on the reality that God has given every individual Christian at least one spiritual gift, and the effective functioning of the church depends on each member properly using his or her gift. And that's a statement that I've made multiple times in recent months. As I stated last week, for this study, I am dividing the biblical list of spiritual gifts into two categories. The first category is Roman numeral 1, service gifts. The definition of a spiritual gift remains the same, that is, a special supernatural ability, enablement, or capacity to do the work of God in edifying the body of Christ. But as a subset, we will say that, point A, a service gift has edification as its primary purpose. Again, if you were here last week, we already looked at this. A service gift has edification as its primary purpose. And I call your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." That passage deals with the fact that God has given spiritual gifts to all of us, and that when all of us are doing what we're supposed to be doing with our spiritual gifts, the end result is that the body grows and builds itself up in love. The expression "builds itself up" is what edification means. So the purpose, the primary purpose of spiritual gifts, of service gifts, is edification of the church. It is the building up of the body of Christ. Last week, we began an alphabetical approach in making a biblical list of service gifts. That's point B on your outlines. A biblical list of service gifts. So this is going to be the continuation of what we started last week. Last week, we looked at the first six of these gifts: administration, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, and giving. We didn't do a thorough study on each of these, but I did provide you with a condensed working definition as well as offering you a more extended definition for clarification. So again, if you missed last week's study, watch or listen to the sermon online by going to our sermons page on our website, because these are very important things and you need to have that as a background even for what we're saying today. No doubt some of you, however, felt frustrated at the end of that service because none of these six items that have been listed seem to fit into who you are. So hopefully you'll discover something helpful today as we move on. So let's move on to number 7. In the biblical list of service gifts, number 7 is helps. And we're going to define helps as rendering support or assistance to others so as to free them up for ministry. The gift of helps, rendering support or assistance to others in the body, because this has to do with the church, the body of Christ, rendering support or assistance to others so as to free them up for ministry. This gift is one of those with a very broad spectrum. We might ask, well, help with what? Good question. And the reality is that there's essentially no limit to the ways that we can help others. The key here is not what tasks you do, but rather that you will do what is needed to enable someone else to be able to capitalize on their ministry gift. This is the gift of helps. It's often behind the scenes. It's not necessarily up front, but it frees other people up to be able to use the spiritual gifts that they have. We read about this gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, verse 28. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gift of healings. Helping is the next one listed. Administrating in various kinds of tongues. As I mentioned last week, these are in alphabetical order, not necessarily in the order that we come across them in any given verse. So helping falls in the middle of this one here, and helping is a gift of rendering support to others so that they are freed up to be able to exercise their spiritual gifts. Moving on. Number 8, hospitality. This is warmly welcoming people as a means of serving those in need. Hospitality is warmly welcoming people as a means of serving those in need. To expand that just a bit, hospitality is warmly welcoming people, even strangers, into one's home or one's church as a means of being able to serve those particular people with whatever their needs may be. You see that need, you reach out, you actually welcome into your home, you welcome into the church, you welcome them into whatever you're doing. And that hospitality enables them to be able to feel like they're a part of that and that they belong. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, verse 10 says, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now the Greek word here for hospitality is actually philoxenia, which literally means love of strangers. And the word love is the Greek word that suggests a family type of love. So, philoxenia literally means to welcome and serve strangers and guests like family. You are welcoming strangers, guests, whoever it may be, and you are treating them like family. This is the spiritual gift of hospitality. Again, on any one of these gifts, there's far more that we could do and say in order to examine what that gift is in its fullness and how it would be exemplified. But right now, we're just doing an overview. So let's move on. Number 9, knowledge. Seeking to learn as much about the Bible as possible. The spiritual gift of knowledge, seeking to learn as much about the Bible as possible. The longer version of this one might say, one with the spiritual gift of knowledge seeks to learn as much about the Bible as possible through the gathering of much information and the analyzing of that data. In other words, you're really digging in deep. It's not just a matter of just reading it through several times, but you are trying to learn all that you can about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, verse 8 says, "To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And he goes on from there. Now, there are some who think that this gift more rightly falls into the second category of spiritual gifts that we're coming to next week, rather than into the list of what we're referring to as service gifts. And they may be right, depending on how the gift of knowledge is defined. And so we're going to come back to this one next week, and we're probably going to include it as a possibility of that second category of gifts as well. However, using the definition that I've given you of seeking to learn as much about the Bible as possible, I can see how this is indeed a service gift. So I'm including it here, because as you seek to learn as much about the Bible as possible, inevitably you're going to be communicating that to others in some form or another. The gift of knowledge. Number 10, leadership. This would be standing before a church to direct the body with care and motivate them toward achieving goals. Standing before a church to direct the body with care and attention, and motivate them toward achieving the church's goals. A person with the gift of leadership appropriately motivates people to get involved in the accomplishment of the church's goals. Romans chapter 12, another passage where we have information about spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." The one who leads. This is the gift of leadership. Clearly, this one is listed in the list of spiritual gifts. The one who leads. Now, obviously, all of us are capable of leading something, but this has to do with those who have been granted the spiritual gift of leadership. And he's saying, if you have that gift, then you need to lead with zeal, with enthusiasm. You need to get in there and do what you're gifted to do and make the most of it. Standing before the church, because this is a spiritual gift of edification for the body of Christ. So standing before the church to direct the body, the church, the people of God, with care and motivate them toward achieving the goals. Motivate them to use the gifts that God has given them in order to achieve the goals that God has for us. Number 11, mercy. We're going to define mercy as having a great sensitivity for those who are suffering and giving practical help as an expression of love. Mercy, having a great sensitivity for those who are suffering and giving practical help as an expression of love. One with the gift of mercy is sensitive toward those who are suffering. Whether it's physical suffering, mental, emotional suffering, you're sensitive toward that. And with genuine sympathy, such a person speaks words of compassion and caring with deeds of love to help alleviate whatever distress might be going on in that person's life. Again, I read from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, if the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Acts of mercy. So there's not just a sympathetic feeling, there's not just a sensitivity, but it's going to be followed up with action. You may have the gift of mercy and you may feel a sensitivity toward those who are feeling some sort of a distress. But if all you have is the feeling, you haven't gone far enough with the gift God has given you. That gift needs to be followed with deeds. Deeds of love. Acts of mercy that are done with cheerfulness. Number 12, shepherding, which might also be described as the gift of pastor. Shepherding, being responsible for spiritually caring for a group of believers. being responsible for spiritually caring for a group of believers. And the longer version might be one with the spiritual gift of shepherding is moved to take the responsibility of spiritually caring for, of protecting, of guiding, and feeding a group of believers. If we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we read, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And actually, most translations, I've just read it to you from the ESV, most translations use the expression pastors. So that's why we could see that the shepherd, pastor, those are very closely connected here. Obviously, a pastor is what we might call the epitome of shepherding. A pastor carries the responsibility of watching over an entire flock, a congregation, and they have been entrusted to his care, and he is accountable to God for their spiritual welfare. So one who is in the role of a pastor, who has been gifted with the gift of shepherding, of pastor, he is the epitome of this particular gift. But let me state that there are others who have the spiritual gift of shepherding who are not in an official role of pastor. For example, small group leaders can fall into this category. Spiritual mentors. You may be able to identify someone who has taken responsibility for you and your spiritual growth. Just someone within the church that may not hold any particular office, and yet they've been there helping you grow in your relationship with God. Others who are involved in discipleship, whether it's in an official capacity or an unofficial capacity. Those types of people may often have the spiritual gift of shepherding because they are assuming a responsibility for the spiritual care of others who are around them. And that's what a shepherd does. Number 13, service. To identify undone tasks in God's work and use available resources to get the work done, get the job done. Service is to identify undone tasks in God's work and to use available resources to get the job done. The longer version might be that one with the spiritual gift of service seeks out ways to serve. This person will identify undone tasks, however menial they may be, and use whatever resources are available to get the job done. This is the gift of service. Again, Romans 12, 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving. Service is a spiritual gift. And once again, these are usually the behind-the-scenes type of people who often go unnoticed, and yet they perform invaluable service, even though most people will never even think about what has been done. But it has been done. It's been accomplished. Someone saw it. They have that gift of service. They recognize the need, even though nobody else may see it, and they quietly get in and get the job done. The gift of service. Number 14, teaching. That would be instructing others in the Bible in a logical, systematic way for spiritual growth. Teaching is instructing others in the Bible in a logical, systematic way for spiritual growth. The longer version would be that one with the spiritual gift of teaching is able to effectively convey biblical instruction to others in a logical, systematic way so as to communicate pertinent information for true understanding and for spiritual growth. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. This is a spiritual gift. A lot of people may be able to teach, but there are those who have been given the gift, the spiritual gift of teaching. Teaching is identified in this list is clearly a spiritual gift. However, it can also be an official position within the church. If we jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we read, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now the apostles, obviously, they had the gift of apostleship, but they were also an official office. The prophets, we've talked about those in previous weeks and months as well, and the prophets also were in positions where people recognize them as official leaders within the church. And now we have this third category of teachers. So in this case, it is obviously a spiritual gift, but it's also an official office within a local congregation. Indeed, we see that also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And although not every pastor has the spiritual gift of teaching, and not every teacher has the spiritual gift of shepherding, these two things do often go together, shepherd and teacher. And as I've told you before, I believe that as we have it expressed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, this refers to a single individual, to the shepherds and teachers, meaning that they are both shepherds and teachers. And so we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." This acknowledges to us that not every shepherd has the gift of teaching, but they can still be very effective pastors. But it also acknowledges that there are those who are in the role of pastor, shepherd, who have the gift of teaching. And according to this passage of Scripture, we are to be considering those worthy of double honor because they are laboring in this particular effort. And this is the best of all situations because you are allowing those who are under your care to be systematically led into a better understanding of what the Scriptures teach in order to bring about that spiritual growth. Let's move on. Number 15, the last one in our list of service gifts. 15, wisdom, applying knowledge to make spiritual truths relevant and practical. This is the definition we're going to use. Applying knowledge to make spiritual truths relevant and practical. The longer version might be that one with the spiritual gift of wisdom is able to apply knowledge to life in such a way as to make spiritual truths relevant and practical in proper decision-making and daily life situations. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." Obviously, they're very closely connected, but to one is given this particular spiritual gift of wisdom. The New Living Translation says it like this: "To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice." So that's kind of an interpretation, but it's a broader application here, that not only does this person have the ability to be able to have wisdom about a certain situation, but he is able to give wise advice to others. And my guess is that most of us know people that we would go to for advice, for true biblical wisdom, because we have great confidence in them. Perhaps they have the gift of wisdom. 15 service gifts. Each has edification as its primary purpose. So here's our conclusion this morning. God instructs you to use your spiritual gift to serve the church. God instructs you to use your gift to serve the church. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Now, if you're still not sure what your spiritual gift may be, you should still be examining your life, your choices, your actions, to confirm that you are actively striving to serve Jesus by serving His church with a right heart, with a right motive, and with a right attitude. Now, you may have noticed that we've not addressed every spiritual gift listed in the passages that we've studied. I'm suggesting that these belong to the second category of gifts. So be sure to join us next Sunday for part 3 of this spiritual gifts overview. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you have gifted us, and even those of us who may not know exactly what our gifts are, we are still grateful that you have gifted us. As we talked about in our children's message, you have blessed us in so many ways. The very breath that we breathe is a gift from you. The life that we live is a gift from you. Our eternal life is a gift. But additionally, Lord, you have given us abilities. You have given us talents. You have given us spiritual gifts. Whatever those may be, Lord, help us to use them for your glory and to serve the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we're striving to make the most of things right here and right now, in this particular time of weirdness of our whole world and this coronavirus lockdown and attempt to reopen, we are thankful, Lord, that this is not the way things always are going to be, because this world is not our home. We're passing through, we're looking forward to glory. But while we're here, Lord, help us to make the most of it and to keep on looking forward to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.